title of today's message is Your Stock is Rising. Your stock is rising. Pastor Larry is on the front row, and I just want to say thank you for the title. He gave it to me last Sunday. He didn't know he was giving it to me, but he said those words, and it just resonated in my spirit. So that's what I want to talk to you guys about. When I say that your stock is rising, what I mean by that is when the Lord looks at you, He's able to say, okay, this person believes in me. I have a relationship with them. They're going to heaven. But then there's this other person over here. Their stock is rising. I can use them more and more and more. I can partner with them. I can speak through them. Their future has moments where we're partnering, where you're having dreams, you're having visions, people are able to look into your face and not know why, but there's this glow on your face that lifts their spirit. When your stock rises, you get more influence. It's like your circle of influence begins to grow. Every single one of you have at least five people that you have direct influence with. But what the Lord does when your stock is rising is that circle gets bigger and your impact becomes more indelible. It lasts longer. It's got more of a shift. Your words shift the trajectory of their life. This is when your stock is rising. But not everyone's stock rises. There's not this progression of the Lord using you. The Lord using you is the second best thing that can happen to you and the Lord. The first best thing is being aware of His presence. And in other people, it's like God's a million miles away. But for you, it's personal. It's sweet. It's nice. When you're in the car, you know He's with you. This is when you lay down, it's like, oh my goodness, the presence of, and that's the best thing. And people that experience that, it's because their stock was rising. Now, to put some scripture underneath it, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 23, it reads like this: because you were faithful with a few things, I'm going to give you greater things to be responsible for. Because you have been faithful, I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. That's Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. But there's a particular young girl that's going to be our case study this morning. It's in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. And again, all this stuff is in your notes. But it reads like this, that How do you say that? Aramean. I'm going to say Syria most of the time because it's the same thing. But when the Aramean soldiers, when they raided Israel, they took captives. Now Israel, those are the children of God. So these Syrians, they come in, they raid Israel, and they take captives. And one of the captives was this little girl. And they gave her to King Naaman. They gave it to her, and she became King Naaman's servant to be her maid. And one day, this young girl, and I love how the Bible does not say her name. It's almost like saying the little old me's. You know, God will use giants, but not little old me. It's like, oh yeah, the little old me's that people don't even know their name. So anyway, so this girl walks up. She goes up to her maiden and she goes, I wish the king, my master, would go see the man of God, Elisha, because he will pray for him and he will be healed of leprosy. The end of the story is he does get healed from leprosy. He does go see Elisha. But what I want to dive into is how this stock with this little girl rose so much that the Lord began to speak through her. So I got three major points. Number one, the first, if you're looking for a new book, it's The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. That's going to be my first point, The Bait of Satan. Number two is this sense within her to continue to believe on God. And then number three, I'm going to talk about her boldness. It's those three things that caused her stock to rise, where the Lord backed up and says, I'm going to use you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, it says this, in a great house in heaven, the kingdom, you and I, in a great house, there are not only vessels made of gold and silver, there are not only people that I look at as gold and silver vessels that I can pour myself through, but there's also people that are made of wood and clay. And the Bible says, cleanse yourself of the latter so that you will be a vessel sanctified and prepared for every good work. So there's things that a person does to increase their stock so that God can partner with them to do great works. And the first thing is that you don't take the bait of Satan. What is the bait of Satan? It's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, where it says this. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, rage, harsh words, and slander, and all other types of evil. This is the bait of Satan, where Satan comes up to you and gives you reasons to be angry, to be bitter, to be mad, my wife is this, my husband is this. When it crosses your mind to look at a person and begin to get disgusted with them, you're taking the bait. It's bait. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says that anger gives a foothold to the enemy. Like if you've ever climbed a tree as a kid, and you're climbing a tree and you don't know what branch to step on, and then you step on this branch, you go, yeah, I can. This is a good branch for me to step on. I got a foothold here. I'm going to stand here for a while. I feel safe here. The enemy says, those of you who are angry, oh man, I can get me a foothold. And then it just festers and it burns and bitterness, and years go by sometimes. And it's the bait where it not only separates you from people, it separates you from God. And unforgiveness is an unforgivable sin. The Bible says that in Luke chapter 6, verse 28. It says this, if you refuse to forgive others, God will refuse to forgive you. It's the bait of Satan. She did not take the bait. Can you imagine what she went through when they looked out the window? She's just a little girl. She has a family. And she sees the Syrians coming in with torches, riding on horses, with swords and spears. She didn't just start believing in God whenever she was in Naaman's kingdom. She believed in God before she got there. So she was praying, God help, God help, God help. And they were still captured. Do you know how easy it would have been for her to be full of bitterness and anger? All of us have been there before, where you pray for something and it doesn't happen. It didn't happen. And to this day, you still remember that event. How, isn't it so easy to be bitter about that? Or here it is, I'm not going to go, I'm going to continue to serve him, but I'm not going to let my heart go there with him because I'm going to protect it so I don't get hurt or disappointed again. This girl did not take the bait. Instead, her heart, she protected her heart so much that she had compassion for the king and his leprosy. Took the bait. About 22 years ago, I was in New York. And you go, how do you remember this? It was so traumatic. 22 years ago, I'm in New York, and I go to order a sandwich. And it's one of those sandwiches like Subway where you go down and you say what you want. It wasn't Subway, but it was something like that. I get to the end. My sandwich is made. And she says, I don't know, $10. So I take out my credit card and I give it to her. She takes it and says, we only take cash. But she's holding my credit card. So I say to her, I don't have any cash. She says, go get it. Okay. I said, I don't have any cash. Go get it. Now, I'm in the middle of Times Square. I don't know where there's an ATM. You got to walk everywhere. It's not like you get in your car and go. You still got my credit card. So I said, hey, cancel the order. I don't want it anymore. Cancel the order. Give me my credit card. You'll never see me again. Ciao. She goes, no. No. Pay for it with cash. Now, have you ever done something in your head? Not that you'd really do, right? In my head, I'm coming to get my credit card. So she calls up her boss for him to make an executive decision on whether or not to give me my credit card back. So they've done this before. So she, I said, give me my credit card. So she gives me the credit card and tells me to go out. I'm livid, man. Look how I'm kind of testy right now. It's been 22 years. I walk out, and it took me so long to calm down. I don't know that I've let it go. But when I look back on her, I think to myself, how did you get this way? How did you get so angry? I'm not the first person that you were like this to. Your family knows this person very well. How did you get this way? And as I was preparing this message, I thought of her because I thought, when did you take the bait? When did you start gnawing on anger and unforgiveness and bitterness? To now you're not even the same person you used to be. When did you take the bait? I was in a parking lot like Christmas time. You see, try to go to the mall today. Have fun doing that. So I was driving around a few years ago trying to find a parking space, and I'm going down. All of a sudden, as I'm driving down, this car puts its reverse lights on and starts to come out. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. But I needed the person behind me to scoot back another 10 feet because I couldn't turn it in. So I put my reverse lights on. She doesn't scoot back. So I'm like, okay, she doesn't know what I'm trying to do. So I start scooting back. She still doesn't scoot back. So I hold up in the little mirror and I'm like, can you take my job? Still doesn't scoot back. So I'm like, clearly we got a miscommunication here. I put it in park. I walk to the back and I'm like, hey, see my smile? This means I'm nice. I said, hey. Rolls down the window a little bit. I just need you to scoot back about 10 feet so I can get in this spot. She goes, no. I was like, just 10 feet. No. I'm like, I'm 6'2". Just like 4 more feet. No. She goes, that's my spot. You remember how I said you picture yourself doing things, right? I pictured myself reaching in there, taking her keys out, and throwing them across the... And so I walk back to my car, and I drive off, again, I think to this day, how did you get this way? When did you take the bait to where you pop off on people all the time? You're angry, you're bitter. When did you get like this? When did you get like this? I want to say this. If you're the kind of person that says, when I get mad, I'm not going to stay mad. Your stock is rising. When you back up and say, oh my goodness, I'm so angry at this person, but I'm going to forgive them as hard as it is. And there's some people you can forgive in a moment, and some people it's a process. Are you with me? Say yes. You say, for those of you that say, I'm not living like this, your stock is rising. For those of you that back up and you say, I can't do that anymore, this is a sin and I've been doing it anyway because it's fun, your stock is rising. Whenever your eyes, Job 31:1, I'll make a covenant with my eyes, your stock is rising. When you deliberately change your language, your stock is rising. A Christian is not identified by what they do. They're identified by what they refuse to do. I refuse to look at the church as an optional thing. I had a guy tell me, churches are good. I mean, every community needs a library, they need a church, and they need a police station and a fire station. I'm like, what? You got church in with a library? If you look at church like it's a house of God, your stock is rising. If you say, I'm not going to look at God like he's nobody, your stock is rising. If you refuse to say, to get cold, to be despondent, to not care, I want you to know your stock is rising. And then she continued to believe in God. She refused to take the bait, but she continued to believe in miracles. She looks at Naaman and says, there's a man of God that will pray for you and you'll get healed. How did she believe in miracles when God didn't do her last miracle? But she kept on hanging on. I just want to tell you, for those of you that say, like I say, I don't know why God didn't do that last one, but I believe he's going to do the next one, your stock is rising. I don't know why he didn't answer that one. I don't know why he didn't answer this one, but I know that he's still on the throne. I know that he's for me. I know that he's got a plan for me. Write this down. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, where it says, you can't please God without faith. Like, you can't do it. It's impossible. And then it describes what faith is. And so if it says you can't please me without faith, well, it's like, I want to please you, but I don't want to have two different definitions of faith here. He says, anyone who comes to me has to do two things. Number one, you got to believe that I exist. Number two, you have to believe that I reward, I bless people who diligently seek me. Diligent, like they just don't stop. I don't know why, God, you didn't do this, and I don't know why you didn't do that, but what I do believe is that if I continue to worship me, you're going to bless me. Your stock rises when you refuse to stop believing that God will reward you. Your stock rises when you say, there's something ahead of me that's better than what I lost. That God is going to strengthen me. Your stock rises when you say, there are open doors of opportunity before me. Your stock rises when you say, I'm depressed, I'm down, everywhere I look, I see bad, but I'm gonna keep worshiping you because I believe that what you said is true, that you will reward me if I keep on pursuing you. I believe that you'll still do miracles for me. There's a young man, I'll just call him Jonathan. He was in theater at school. And part of their assignment, obviously they do plays and stuff in front of the student body and stuff like that. But part of the assignment is he had to sing in front of his class. And so Jonathan was the kid that had to sing, and there was another kid. I'll just call him Jerk, okay? That's a good name for him. And he told Jonathan, he said, "I can't wait for you to sing because I'm going to film you with my phone and I'm going to send it everywhere because you're a joke." So for 4 months, he would keep saying that. "I'm going to film you. I'm going to film you. I'm going to film you." And so Jonathan told me about this. And I want you to know that I'm saved. But sometimes I wonder if I'm really saved. Like he's still working on me. And so I start thinking, I have a friend of mine that doesn't believe in God. And I can go call him up and just say, "Hey, since you don't believe in God anyway, do you mind taking care of this jerk for me?" You know, all these things going on. And I said, "Jonathan, are you okay? Like, is there anything I can do to help you?" And he said, "No, I'm just going to keep praying. I believe God will help me. I'm just going to keep praying. I believe God will help me." And I'm like, "My God, you got a lot of faith. You have so much faith." And so the day came, and all the students were in the classroom. And they're going to stand up, and they're going to go to the theater, and he's going to sing. And so everybody stands up and goes to the theater. Well, Jonathan starts looking around for the jerk, and he's not there. But he was in the classroom. So, like, where's he at? So Jonathan realizes, "Oh, shoot, I forgot my cell phone in the classroom." So he stands up, and he walks to the classroom to get his cell phone. And he walks in, and the jerk is sitting in his chair, staring at the ground. He's not on his phone. He's just sitting there, staring at the ground. And he never stands up and comes to the theater. And Jonathan sings, does a phenomenal job, and walks out. And he comes back and he tells me, "I don't know what happened, but when I walked into that room, I knew something was keeping him in that chair. Something was keeping him. God was doing something I could have never imagined and kept him. It was like he was frozen in that chair." Now, when you're listening to me, there's got to be a part of your head that goes, "That's a little bit out there." But I want to tell you, God does things that you would never, ever imagine. And that really happened. And God can do even greater things for you. And so what did this young girl do? She wouldn't take the bait. Number two, she continued to believe that God would do miracles. And that's why she said, "I want you to go see Elijah." But then number three, she was crazy enough and bold enough to open her mouth and tell them what she believed. So often, we look for a grand assignment and we don't tell the people that we're around. We don't talk about God because we're waiting for a big assignment. And so we're skipping over these little conversations and we're praying for a big assignment. And I want you to know this. There is no bigger assignment. There's nothing bigger. There's nothing bigger. Some of you are like, "Yeah, well, look what you're doing." Guess what? This is for 30 minutes a week. If you add the first service, 60 minutes a week. I got the rest of the day today. I got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I got people that can't drive and steal my credit card. I'm with you. These conversations, when the Lord sees us having these conversations, your stock rises. He says, you're not taking the bait. You're continuing to believe in me. But it doesn't just stop with you believing in me. You're actually telling people about it. This is crazy. Last and final thought. John introduced me to this guy. He's a CEO of a, gosh, I don't even know, multi-million dollar company. Just brilliant. So he introduces me to him, and he asked for my phone number. And so we kind of stayed in touch over the last few weeks or so. I mean, I met him probably 3 weeks ago. And he says to me when we met, he says, man, this is crazy. I've never really been a spiritual guy. But for the past like 2 years, my mind's been on God more than ever before. And he starts talking about a whole bunch of stuff. But then he starts saying, sometimes, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I said, hey, this is great news. Who do you pray to? And he goes, sometimes, you know, I pray to my parents because I miss them. And sometimes I'm praying to Mary. It just depends on what I need. And sometimes I pray to the Lord. Now, this conversation was happening in a banquet at a gala. Everybody's wearing tuxedos and stuff. So I didn't have a process to talk about it. But it's kind of, I just celebrated, man, I'm happy that you're on a spiritual journey and I'm excited for you. But it's been bothering me. So this morning, I grabbed my cell phone and I'm going to send him a video to complete the conversation. But I'm scared because I really like this guy. Everybody wore tuxedos. He comes in with like tennis shoes, tie undone. Like, and I'm like, if you invite me again, John, I'm coming in looking like him, all right? Like I'm coming in wearing an Adidas outfit. What do you think about that? He's just cool, so I want him to like me. And I start thinking, Frankie, what are you afraid of? He doesn't have anything you want. So he's extraordinarily wealthy, but he doesn't have anything I want. So why am I nervous? I want him to like me. But if we're going to have a relationship and I can't talk openly about the Lord, then this relationship really isn't a relationship I really have time for. Now, I'm not 17 hanging out in a lunchroom with 700 other teenagers. Right? I don't have time for relationships that I can't talk about the Lord with. So I make him a video, and I made him five because I couldn't do it good, so I kept deleting them. So finally, I was like, hey, I want you to just consider something next time you go to pray. Only Jesus died for you. Only Jesus rose from the grave. The only reason why you're going to heaven or have an opportunity to go to heaven is because of Jesus. And so if that's the case, I want to challenge you. Only pray to him. And then I stopped the recording, and have you ever been scared to press send? Like my finger's like, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. I'm not gonna do it. Right? I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. So finally, I got did it. And then I set the phone down like it's a grenade. And then I'm so nervous that he's not going to text me back that I turn the notifications off. So I can't be sitting there waiting to hear it, right? And plus, I'm preparing for this message. I'm going to see you guys in like an hour. It happened this morning. So I sit down. I'm like, okay. And then like 5 minutes went by. I'm like, I can't take it. And so I look at it, and he replied. And he's like, I love what you said. I'd like to talk more about this. See, in John 6:44, it says, no man comes to the Son unless drawn by the Father. He's being drawn, and the Lord's saying, hey, look, Frankie, your stock is going up, man. You're turning away from the bait of Satan. You keep on believing in me. Your stock is going up. Be crazy enough to say something like that girl. She's like, go see Elijah. Be crazy, Frankie. I want your stock to go up. I want a partner. Just go up. And in the video that I sent, I was like, hey, if you ever want to Zoom and talk more about this, let me know. Hey, thanks for sending it. I'd love to Zoom. Really? No, I don't want to look like I like him too much. Just... I'll let it sit for a minute. Don't be too excited. Okay, hold on. Da-da-da-da. Boom, he sends it back. I send it back. I'm like, hey, we got a thing here. Did we just become best friends? No, I'm just... When you're bold enough to say something, your stock rises. And I want to say this. If there's anyone here that says, I don't want to talk about God because they know who I really am. They know I'm a scum bucket. And if I talk about God, they're going to think I'm a fake. That's the enemy whispering in your ear. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. All you got to say is just be super honest. Just be like, hey, man, you know, I've been really trying to get serious about God. I've been going to church more. I got a lot I need to work out in my life. But, man, it feels good to go to church. If you ever want to come, I'd love for you to come. They're going to go, yeah. Be like, okay, sweet. How about this Sunday? I'll pick you up at 7:30. I'll buy you breakfast. I'll get you some chicken minis. No, I can't because Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Let's give Jesus a standing ovation. I'd like you to just hold your hands out today. Let me go through those few points because I'm going to ask you to pray. Some of you may want to just say, Lord, I've been taking the bait, man. I've been taking the bait. And it's separating you and I. Maybe it's a secret sin pattern, an addiction. Maybe it's mental or emotional, like what I was talking about, just this unforgiveness and bitterness and rage. If that resonates most with you, I just want you to hold it in your hands towards the Lord. Like, hey, I just want to give this to you. If there's this lack of faith in you because of whatever reason, I just want you to hold your hands out and say, I want to believe in you, help me. Or maybe you know you have influence with two or three people, but you haven't said anything to them. God, make me bold. So take this minute right now. Take this minute. Just talk to the Lord. Holy Spirit, move through this room right now and bless your people. If you feel, keep your hands out, keep your eyes closed. If you feel this heaviness and you think, I don't know why it just feels so heavy right now. Maybe it's an evil spirit trying to hold you back. If you believe that that's what it might be, I just want you to whisper, "Satan, I don't belong to you. Leave me now." Go ahead, Satan, leave me now. And these voices are in our mind, and just as a step of faith, because we want that out, I just want you to just three times, just get out of me. Like for all the prayer partners to come down. Sometimes the battle gets so hot in my personal life that I'll say to the Lord, "Please let my name cross somebody's mind and have them pray for me. I feel weak. Have them pray for me." Sometimes you just need somebody to pray with you. If that's you, I want you to come out of your seat and take the hand of a prayer partner and just say, "I need somebody to pray with me." If you're in this room and you know, if your heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, you're not ready to see the Lord, I want you to come pray with somebody. The Bible says if you're ashamed of him in front of people, he'll be ashamed of you in front of the Father. Sometimes you just need someone to pray with you. There's going to be no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready. But let's just sing this song one or two times through before anyone goes. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May his countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.